I want to thank you for that. Did you know that only one, I think, in every 20 pastorates make it beyond the nine-year point? So only one in every 20 pastorates in an established church make it that long. Well, we have now gone triple that. That doesn't happen without a good people. It doesn't happen without a good church. And so Rhonda and I wish to thank you on this really anniversary week for us, that we have had the wonderful, wonderful privilege of serving as your pastor. And Lord willing, we look forward to the time ahead as well. Well, today I will bring the fifth message in my series, The Christmas Story, from the Gospel of Luke. Now, while Christmas 2019 is now history, and just visiting with some people, interacting with some people prior to the service, I would ask people, how was your Christmas? It was good, but we're glad that it's over. I think we would all agree it was wonderful, but we're all glad that it was over. And there are only 362 shopping days left until Christmas 2020. This next year is a leap year, so we've got an extra day there. And I would just imagine that here there are probably a few faithful souls that have even purchased some Christmas gifts for next year in the after-Christmas sales. Well, even though Christmas is over, I have one additional passage that I would like for us to look at together. Next Sunday, I'm going to begin a series of messages titled The Top Ten. We're going to look at some powerful lessons we learn from some of the lead characters of the Old Testament. We're going to start next Sunday with Abraham and what he can teach us about faith. I love the account we're going to explore together today. Luke gives us some wonderful gifts that we don't get from the other gospel accounts. For example, on the first Easter, the day that Jesus rose from the grave, only Luke shares the story of two travelers on the road to Emmaus who joined the Lord. Apparently, our Lord was in disguise at that point. And wow, what a story it is. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24 when the two finally recognized Jesus and then he disappeared from their sight. They asked one another this question: were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? But there's another gift that Luke gives us that the other gospel accounts do not. Luke alone tells us the story of Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple 40 days after his birth, the time set by the law for the purification following the birth of a male child. Now, it is there that they encounter Simeon and also Anna. I won't have time to deal with Anna this morning, but it is there that this young couple, with this new baby, they encounter these two individuals. The story is found in Luke chapter 2. If you want to turn there with me, and you can follow along in your Bible or on the screen or with your device. There's a lot of different ways today, isn't there, to view the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. I'll be reading down through verse 35, but maybe later today you can read sort of the rest of the story and the encounter that takes place with Anna. When the time had come for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifices in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. What they thought was just going to be something following the law, going to the temple, became something really extraordinary. The story continues in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him, or took Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And notice the last thing Simeon says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It has been my goal in each of these five Christmas sermons, again based on the Gospel of Luke, to share very practical spiritual lessons that apply to our lives today. There's two specifically that I want to share with you today from this encounter with Simeon. The first is this: God knows who you really are. God knows who you really are. There's what other people think. There's what other people say. It may be right. It may be wrong. There may be your public persona. But I want you to know that what I see here is that God knows who we really are. If you'll focus with me on the next few moments at verse 25. You know, when we read this account, we assume that Simeon was an old man, but the Bible does not say that he was old. A matter of fact, according to tradition, Simeon was 113 years old, but again, that's only by tradition. He is thought to be elderly based upon the first words he spoke when he took this baby Jesus into his arms. And verse 29 says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Perhaps Simeon wasn't old at all. Perhaps Simeon was a young man. Perhaps he was a middle-aged man. God is no respecter of persons, and spiritual passion and fervor is not necessarily linked to how long you have served the Lord. There are some people who have served the Lord for many years, but their spiritual fervor and passion's been gone for a long time. One thing is clear: however old Simeon may have been, he was a man of character and integrity. It was C.S. Lewis who said, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." Luke gives us a description of this man, Simeon. I want you to consider for just a few moments what this man was like. First of all, Simeon was a good man. Now, there's words you don't hear too often today. That person is a good man. But Simeon was a good man. He was a man of his word. He was a man who could be counted on. If Simeon was your friend, you had a friend indeed. Simeon was a kind of friend that would be with you through thick and thin. I think of the way Luke describes Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. By the way, Luke, of course, wrote the Gospel of Luke, but Luke also wrote the book of Acts as well, the first 30 years or so of the early church. And he writes of Barnabas: "He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord." The few times I've had the privilege of officiating at the funerals of some pastors and just some godly men, I have used that as my text. While no one is perfect, there was no fault line running through the life of Simeon that could erupt at any moment. the one thing better than doing good is being good, and Simeon was. He was a man of integrity. He did the right thing even when no one was watching. But Luke gives us another description of this man, Simeon, and that is he was not only a good man, he was a godly man. Back to verse 25, Simeon was righteous and devout. He was a man known for being right with the Lord. He was a man who was known for his devotion to the Lord. I believe Simeon, even before Christ's death upon the cross and the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he lived under the old covenant. But I believe that Simeon was even known for his relationship with the Lord. This man was probably at the temple several times a week, not to be seen by others, but to seek the Lord. He was righteous and devout, not in the sense of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, who wanted to be seen by others, who wanted others to see every good work that they did. Simeon didn't really care about that. He was righteous and he was devout to the Lord. For Simeon, it wasn't about what was seen externally, it was about who he was internally. Getting a picture of this man, Simeon, a good man, a godly man, well, I see something here else about Simeon, that is, he was a waiting man. He was a waiting man. What was Simeon waiting for? The answer is, the Bible tells us there, the consolation of Israel. You see that there in verse 25. And what this means is, this consolation of Israel means that he had a messianic hope. See, the Jewish people were looking for the Lord's first coming. They carefully studied the scriptures to see the exact time and place, and of course, when it happened, they missed it altogether. But they said they were longing for the first coming. Now, if I were to ask you today, are we all looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Everyone say amen. You probably all say amen. But how many are really looking? I mean, really looking for the Lord's second coming. Now, how long had he been waiting? The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. Maybe it was for years, perhaps decades, if he was an old man. He may have been waiting for a lifetime. Now, listen to me. It says a lot about you about what you are really waiting on. What is it you're waiting for? Is it the big promotion? Is it retirement? Is it financial independence? God knows what you're longing for. God knows what you really want. And Simeon was waiting for the first coming. And with the same passion, the same intensity, I believe that we should be waiting for the Lord's second coming, that we should be looking for His second coming. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and there's so many verses in the Bible, what we see in the Old Testament primarily is all the promises about the Lord's first coming. We move into the New Testament and the focus is different. All of the focus is on His second coming. So there's a lot of verses we could look at, but let me just share two with you from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said this, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Where's your citizenship? Well, it's probably in the United States of America. If someone were to ask you, "Where's your citizenship?" you would say, "I'm an American." Paul said, "Listen, my citizenship is in heaven." And he goes on to write this, "And we," not just me, but we, the church, "we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." See the intensity of Paul? We are eagerly awaiting a Savior from there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This is the final letter that Paul wrote from a prison cell. Unlike being in prison when he wrote Philippians, he knew his life was not coming to an end. He struggled with that. He said, "Personally, I would much rather go ahead and go on to heaven, which is better by far, but it's more expedient that I remain here with you. Now I'm convinced I will remain." He wasn't convinced of that when he wrote this epistle titled 2 Timothy. He wrote this, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all, listen to this, to all who have longed for his appearing. Simeon was a good man. Simeon was a godly man. Simeon was a waiting man. But Simeon was also a spirit-led man. Before Pentecost, this Simeon was a man that was led by the Holy Spirit. Look again at verse 25. It says, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Again, this is significant because Simeon lived prior to Christ's atoning death upon the cross. He lived prior to the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost and Joel's prophecy being fulfilled, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Also, Simeon lived at the very end of a time known as the 400 silent years. The 400 years between the Old Testament, the New Testament, the 400 years between Malachi, who prophesied that a man was going to come in the spirit of Elijah, which was going to be John the Baptist. So there were 400 silent years where the word of the Lord was not just rare, but it was really non-existent. It was in that time, towards the end of that time of 400 years with no word from the Lord, that this Simeon, this simple man, he didn't have the Bible as you have the Bible. He didn't have religious programming to watch. He didn't have all the resources that we have. But this Simeon was a man that the Holy Spirit was on him. Imagine having a bio like Simeon. Imagine people talking about you the way that people talked about Simeon. You know, in the day before the outpouring of the Spirit, we know that the Spirit in the Old Testament would and under the Old Covenant, the Spirit would come upon individuals just long enough to accomplish a task or to fulfill a purpose. It could be that Simeon was a priest. Many assume that, but the Bible doesn't say that. Maybe he was just a very common man that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you desire to be like this man, Simeon? Are you a person that submits and surrenders yourself and says, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit? I want your Spirit to guide and direct my steps. I want to be sensitive to your Spirit. I want to hear the voice of your Spirit. Say, is that possible for me? I work in a factory. I'm a mechanic. I'm a school teacher. Listen, none of that matters. You can be like this man Simeon. You can be led of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is looking for that kind of person. I love 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The first takeaway that I see from Simeon is this: God knows who you really are. The second lesson I want to share with you is that the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Do you believe that? Three or four of you really do believe that, and that's really exciting. Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to use you? As we knock at the door of 2020, would you open yourself and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to use me? I want you to use me, not just in the Lord's church, not just when we come together, not just in the small group, not just when I feel like it, but Lord, I want you to use me in my life. I want you to use me where I work. I want you to use me in my family. I want you to use me with those that I rub shoulders with. The second takeaway from Simeon is this: the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Do you really believe that he does? Will you let him do that? I want you to look for just a moment with me at what the Holy Spirit did in Simeon's life. First, the Holy Spirit revealed things to Simeon. He revealed things to Simeon. In verse 26, we see a great promise he dropped into Simeon's heart. specifically that he would not die until he had seen with his own eyes the Lord's Messiah. This is incredible. This is incredible. We don't know that Simeon was a priest or a scribe or any of those kind of things. There's no hint here that he was a religious leader. I tend to think that if he was, Luke would have so designated that. I believe Simeon was a common man, but there was a time, there was a place that the Lord just dropped this promise into Simeon's heart. You will see with your own eyes the Lord's Messiah. Again, maybe he waited years or decades, we don't know. But let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit always keeps his word. If the Holy Spirit drops a promise from the word, or the Holy Spirit gives you a word, or perhaps the Holy Spirit brings a word through another person, you can count on it, you can take it to the bank, because the Holy Spirit always keeps his word. He did for Simeon, and he will for you and me as well. So how did the revelation come? We don't know. The Bible does not tell us. No doubt Simeon had so nurtured and cultivated his relationship with the Lord. And again, he did not have all of the things to aid him in his relationship with the Lord. You can find a study Bible from coming at life from almost any perspective. Now, I know there's not as many Christian bookstores, but you can go online and look at the study Bibles. There's study Bibles, how to cope, and how to from a family perspective, from a financial perspective, from a leadership perspective. And I mean, there's all kinds. He didn't have access to all of that, but yet this promise came to him. And again, this was before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes at salvation. This was totally, totally by faith. In John chapter 14, it's one of the places where Jesus speaks about the current and the future ministry of the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, he's preparing them for his death, and he said, I am going to go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. He says, now I am with you, but then he will be in you. In John chapter 14, verse 17. Simeon did not know that. He was not aware of that promise. He was not aware of that teaching. But I want you to know, just as the Spirit of God revealed things to Simeon, he desires to reveal things to you. First, he desires to reveal things in his word. About 99% of the will of God for you is found right here. It's found right here. So you need the Holy Spirit, who inspired the word. And I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired this. I believe this truly is the Word of God, that God breathed upon these individuals. He led them. He directed the writers of Scripture, some 40 writers over 1,700 year period of time that came together with one book that is unified, and you see the red thread of redemption running all throughout the Word of God. So the same Holy Spirit that inspired this Word is the same Holy Spirit who will then illuminate the Word of God to your heart. You know, you can read a passage, and I've made it my practice to be constantly reading through the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Book of Psalms. I've done that for most of my adult ministerial life. And it's amazing because I'll go from Bible to Bible. And then I'm reading one that I'm now going through the second time. And I'll see a verse that's highlighted. And I look at it and I say, why did I highlight that verse? Why didn't I highlight this verse? Why didn't I put a star beside that? The reason is it's always been there. The truth has always been there. The illumination is not to show you something that's not there. It's to show you that something that is there that you need for this time and for this moment. And if you follow the Lord very long, and if you've been in His Word, you know what it is for just one line, one verse, just to jump out, and you know that's for me right now. That's for me in the future. That's the Word of God to me. Don't go searching around for a word from the Lord until you have consulted the Word of God. Now, He will bring words from other people. But we, first of all, we consult the the Word of God, and you need the Spirit of God to illuminate His Word unto your life. The second is this. The Holy Spirit will also just show you what you need to know. What you need to know about God, the most painful thing the Holy Spirit can do is show you what you need to know about yourself. You know, when you read about what the Holy Spirit reveals about God, you say, amen. When the searchlight of the Holy Spirit suddenly comes upon you, you say, oh me, oh me. And then the Holy Spirit also at times will show you stuff about other people, about circumstances. And His revelation doesn't always mean go show and tell. Remember you went to school, you'd take something for show and tell? Just because God says something to you doesn't mean it's necessarily for someone else or for everybody. It's for you. There's other times it is for other people, and it's something that should be shared with other people. But the Holy Spirit will show you what you need to know. And Simeon had such a heart for God that it wasn't the high priest. It wasn't the religious leaders. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the scribes. It was this simple man that the Holy Spirit whispered in his ear perhaps one day. Maybe he was at the temple. Maybe he was leaving the temple. Maybe he just woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit whispered in this man's ear, "You will not leave this world until you see the Messiah." Wow. What a promise. And again, I want to reiterate to you, don't give up on any promise God has given you. There's times it may look like it's a million miles away, as we will see next week as we move in and look at the life of Abraham. But never give up on any promise that God has given you. You know, Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. Could it be the Holy Spirit wants to reveal more than we are willing to receive? Could it be that He is more willing to lead than we are to follow? We see in Simeon that the Holy Spirit revealed things to him. I believe there's things the Spirit of God wants to reveal to you and me as well. I think there's some things that the Spirit of God wants to reveal about His church, about His people, about the future of what even 2020 holds. Second, the Holy Spirit led Simeon. He led Simeon. Look at with me at verse 27. It says that moved by the Spirit, he went. Doesn't say moved by the Holy Spirit, he sat. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went. You know, when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, we need to move as well. Instant obedience to the Spirit of God is the key to His continued leading in your life. Disobedience in any area is a way that the continued leading of the Holy Spirit is just not there. We find ourselves stuck. If the Spirit moves and you don't, you will get stuck. The same Spirit that whispered to Simeon, you're going to see the Lord's Messiah, whispered to him one morning, go to the temple. Go to the temple. Have you ever had the Spirit of God move on you like that? You need to stop by McDonald's and have coffee today. you need to go. It doesn't have to be anything big. It's not just go to the church and present yourself to the altar. It can be stop there and get coffee. It can be it's now time for you to go work out, and suddenly a divine appointment takes place. See, the Spirit of God is not just the Spirit of the extraordinary. He is the Spirit of the ordinary in our lives as well. And the Spirit of God said to Simeon, go to the temple. It said Simeon went. And he went at just the right time, because it was just at that moment that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were there. Now, I don't want you to picture in your mind the temple being a large but nearly empty place. The temple was a very, very busy place. This was not an uncommon scene. There were probably many that were there that day. There were probably many parents that were there with new children to present them to the Lord. So there was a lot. And we know that for years Simeon had watched and he had waited, and now it was about to happen. How did he spot the right couple? How did he spot the right child? Charles Swindoll writes, "The Lord gave Simeon the eyes to see, the ability to recognize the promised one with a glance." And no doubt as he scanned the crowd, "I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord." I bet when he saw Joseph and Mary and Jesus, I bet at that moment his heart just leapt. I bet at that moment tears began to fill his eyes. Verse 28 says that Simeon took him in his arms. I have to ask myself, what did Joseph and Mary think? There are some parents who are very, very protective about their children. One thing about pastors and missionaries, we sort of get used to passing our kids around. But some parents are very, very protective. But this man, if he was an old man, what was he doing taking this child from their arms? But he did that. And then he looked into the face of Jesus. Promise fulfilled. Promise fulfilled. Maybe again you have been waiting for a long time. Months, years, maybe decades, but I promise you, if God put that promise in your heart, the day will come that promise will be fulfilled. And it may be that you will be watching over the balcony of heaven to see that promise fulfilled. The Bible says when one sinner repents, that all the angels of heaven rejoice. And I doubt seriously they keep in dark all the inhabitants of heaven of who that's about. So it may not always be fulfilled in this life. The Spirit of God may tell you, as He did Simeon, it's going to happen before you die. But whatever that promise is, it is going to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit revealed things to Simeon, and I believe He desires to reveal things to you and me as well. The Holy Spirit led Simeon. If I had time, we'd go into the New Testament, the teachings of Paul, where he talks about keeping in step with the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you as well. But there's another one here. The Holy Spirit spoke through Simeon. The Holy Spirit spoke through Simeon. What he said is really another message altogether, but let me highlight just a couple of things that Simeon said. First of all, Simeon offered praise to God for the fulfillment of his promise to him. Again, don't let go of God's promises. Next, he declares that an era of salvation has dawned. He held in his arms the source of that salvation, and that salvation would be for the whole world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, both Jew and Gentile, and for the first time," listen to this, "for the very first time, Mary and Joseph heard about how their son was not just going to impact the Jewish world, but also the Gentile world here as well." It's interesting that it was in the temple. It was in the temple, in this exclusive Jewish place, that Simeon is talking about this child being the light to the Gentile world as well. But Simeon isn't finished. He predicts to Mary in verse 34 that Jesus' mission will involve judgment on Israel. Notice what he said about Jesus. "This child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel." In other words, those who reject Jesus will be in danger of eternal judgment. Those who accept him will rise and enter into salvation. And then he pauses, and perhaps at this point he locks eyes with Mary, and maybe he lowers his voice as he speaks to her, and he says to her, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." The symbol of the sword here is that of suffering. And every parent here that's lost a child knows about that sword. Simeon foretells the heartbreak that Mary would experience. It's noteworthy that on the cross, Jesus spoke of his mother. Matter of fact, he made provision for his mother. In John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, it says, "When Jesus saw his mother there at the cross, and the disciple whom he loved, which would have been John, standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home." I want you to get this today. We learn from Simeon that the Holy Spirit wants to use us. I want you to get that deep in your spirit as we close 2019, as we move into a new year. The Holy Spirit wants to use you in 2020. He wants to use you in your life. He wants to use you on your job. He wants to use you in your family. There are people that he wants to direct you to. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. We learned that from Simeon. He wants to reveal things to you if you will take the time to listen. He wants to lead you. He wants to speak through you. The question is, will you let him? From this passage, we also learn some things about the Holy Spirit as I close. First of all, the Holy Spirit brings people to Jesus. That's one of the primary things the Holy Spirit does, is the Holy Spirit brings people to Jesus. We don't. We would like to. We would like to make them come. We would like to compel them to come. But it's only the Holy Spirit that brings people to Jesus. He orchestrated this meeting between Simeon, Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. And I want you to know, if you'll follow him, he wants to orchestrate some meetings. He wants to make some connections take place. He wants there's going to be some encounters out there, because I promise you, if you will pray, "Spirit of God, help me to be sensitive. Spirit of God, help me to be led of your Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, bring divine appointments my way," he will indeed do just that. Something else we learn about the Holy Spirit in this passage is he gives peace. He gives peace. Remember, Jesus said, "In this world you'll have a good time." Is that what he said? No, he said, "In this world you will have trouble, but you're going to be happy in it. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." But the Holy Spirit gives peace. Simeon was able to pray, "Now dismiss your servant in peace." What was he saying? Dismissed from the temple? No. "I'm ready to die." Now, he may have lived on for years or decades. I don't know. But he said, I have seen the Lord's Messiah. The promise has been fulfilled. Dismiss your servant in peace." I dare say, in a congregation this size this morning, that there are some here who could not say that. They could not pray that prayer. There would be a sense of fear in them. They could not pray, "Lord, I want you to dismiss me in peace," because they're not at peace. And let me tell you, until you surrender the Lord Jesus Christ, you are at war. You are at war. There is a spiritual battle that is taking place for you. And those of you who maybe came to the Lord later in life, maybe not as children, that's a wonderful thing, but you know what that war is like until you finally come to that place where you say, "Yes, Lord." Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to give you peace today. And the Holy Spirit, we also learn here, is he changes hearts. Can he change mine? Yes, he can change yours. The Holy Spirit changes hearts. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The theme God laid on my heart for Faith Church for 2020 is more of God. More of God. I'm going to ask if you would make that a personal prayer in your life. Lord, I want more of you in my life. Could you make that your prayer for your marriage and for your family? Lord, I want more of you in my life. Could you make that the prayer for your finances? Lord, I want more of you in my finances. Lord, I want more of you in my life. If anyone lived that theme, it was Simeon. It was Simeon. He didn't have the light that we have, but the Holy Spirit was on him. The Spirit of God was speaking to him, and he had God, more of God in his life. Let that be your prayer today. Lord, I want more of you in my life. Let's make that the prayer for Faith Church for 2020. We want more of God. We want more of God. Not more of us, not more plans, not more strategies, all of those kind of things. But Lord, we want more of you in our midst. Let's pray together.